Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. Last year on June the 13th, just a little bit more than a year ago, Chris Brown was died from asphyxiation. A group of kids threw stones at a person's home. It was a police officer. He went after the group, and when he went after the group, he grabbed Chris Brown, who was hiding in some bushes, and he died from asphyxiation. And now James LaBorde is being charged with manslaughter. The trial starts today.
Yes.
And we have with us in the studio once again Chris Brown, who is the mother of Christopher Brown. And welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me back.
Again, my condolences. I just...
Yeah.
So tell me about where we are. I'm actually surprised you're not at the trial today.
Well, you know, we were informed that they were going to do, you know, jury selection.
Uh-huh.
And that they would actually give us a call probably about, you know, midday to let us know how that's going. And I appreciate that because, you know, I just don't want to, you know, sit around as, you know, as it gets antsy for me. It's already hard for my family. So,
I can imagine.
You know, we just want to get right to it. And we're looking forward to being able to do that today because it's been a whole year now.
It has been a whole year now. Mm-hmm. And I know it's been hard for you and everybody in your family. And folks, I want you to join us here, by the way, at 410-319-8888. You can tweet us at Mark Steiner. You can jump onto our Facebook pages. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. I'll check the Facebook pages in a minute, but please join us at 410-319-8888. So, Chris Brown, this is a very tough question to ask, but what are you – when you think of what seeing justice done for your son – you were very eloquent last year, talking about this is more than about your son, and we'll talk about that in a minute as well. What does justice mean for you in this case?
Justice means that, you know, the person that killed my son is punished. I don't look for, and I explained this the last time, that I'm not looking for a life, for him taking a life, but I do look for consequences for an adult behavior. And a trained officer at that, I believe that officers are trained to uphold the law, and they're also trained to think outside the box when different things like this happens. And because we believe that the officer should have just gone through the basic phone call, making a call to, you know, his authorities or whatever, if there was something that went on, and he didn't do that. So he took matters into his own hands. And not only that, he was somehow a stronghold was placed on my son, and he died based on that. And we were basically, you know, just kind of floored at the fact that this officer didn't know how to perform CPR. So our family this year, we have been like on a total crusade to make something good of this, you know, and we were able to get CPR training, a firefighter to come out into the community and offer it to the community for free. We also were working together for some legislation to be changed. We were doing the Christopher Brown's Law.
What is that?
It's... you know, basically mandatory training for officers annually instead of every 3 years or just out of cadet school. We had them being trained on diversities in the culture,
mm-hmm.
Being able to
the
CPR, the diversity in and there's a third thing. And my daughter and I just
you can open her mic. You can jump in and say something. Can we open her mic?
My daughter and I just kind of forget that one particular thing. But it is the most important thing is making sure officers are trained
right.
In order to be better officers for our community. We wanted to bridge the gap between officers and the community as hand because we're fearful of officers as we see it. So, you know, we were working to get some things changed. If I could leave a legacy, if Christopher could leave his legacy behind, we believe that all of what we're doing now is a part of who my son was. You know what I mean? He was forgiving. So, you know, we already know we have to extend our forgiving hand to the officer. But a year's gone by, and the forgiving part, you know, we tend to be angry right now all over again. So I want to make sure that we are all, you know, prayed up and making sure that we just don't go backwards. We're trying
to
continue.
You just said, you know, that you feel afraid of police officers.
Yeah. For me, and I've talked to kids in the community, they don't, after that had happened, they don't go outside anymore. They feel like their chances of something happening tragic like it was for Christopher, and they watched, you know, a life right before their eyes not be here anymore. So we want to help the fear factor that's going on in our communities to get better. We don't want to be fearful of the officers, but I do believe that there are good officers out there. And there are bad seeds out there as well. And if we could help them get rid of some of that, the bad seeds, and also help with reform for officers, police agency in itself. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to help it. If I could go to morning meetings and stand before them and tell them, you know, this is what happens when you just are careless with your job. It's mothers like me that have to stand before you today. And I'd like to be able to do that and let them know that think twice before you go out into the community today. Get to know some of the kids in your neighborhood, as well as the kids that you're going and you're put in the neighborhoods of those that are fearful of officers.
Because, I mean, if I remember correctly from when we spoke the first time and for the articles I read in the beginning of this, that your son Christopher was not involved in criminal activity.
No, he wasn't. No, I mean, it's not like he was a thug.
Not that that would be an excuse even to right. do what happened.
Yeah, but, you know, he was a kid in the neighborhood, and the kids in the neighborhood were being kids. And I just believe that, you know, we were kids at one point in time, and having that understanding that, you know what, let's reprimand them. Let's get to the bottom of what's going on. You know, he would have probably been able to help with who were the kids that, you know, that continued to wreak havoc on the neighborhood or, you know, and he wasn't even able to be of some assistance. And I think we're going to need the kids' help with how we get different crimes solved or, you know, pretty much you're going to have to build relationships. And that wasn't done. And I just believe that if that officer had gotten to know at least some of the kids, if not Christopher, he would, my son, he had gone through the neighborhood and asked different men that he thought were leaders in the neighborhood. We just didn't know this officer even lived in our neighborhood. But he would ask them to mentor him or come and throw footballs or show him how to practice. I mean, that's what he went after. And I think that officer missed a good person. I mean, he definitely missed that light that my son was for our community. Every morning, Christopher would go without me knowing and would help a disabled family get their child inside the car. Now, that's something that I didn't know about. Every morning, he would get up early and make sure that mother had help with that child. One day, I listened to a young lady that came forward and talked about how Christopher helped her from killing herself this particular night, all because he said hello the next day in school. He was an athlete. So when an athlete says hello to, you know, anybody, it's like, oh, you know what I mean? It draws attention to you or whatever. And she said after that day, you know, people started noticing her. And she thanked him for that. Christopher took many kids to young ladies to their prom because I guess the Lord knew that he wasn't going to be able to get to his prom. But he took three young ladies to their proms, either because they just wanted him and they asked him last minute, or, you know, maybe they were stood up and he jumped in, you know. So he was the first child on our usher board, a youth usher. So he loved the idea of the Youth Fridays that we had at our church. Even when kids didn't go to mentoring groups, he got all his friends in the neighborhood, and they showed up for mentoring. So, you know, he was the light that we definitely miss in our lives. You know, it's really, really hard because he was killed on June the 13th, and that just passed this week, actually.
Right.
And that was a struggle for in itself. His belongings finally were dropped off the other day, and that was hard. It was on the anniversary.
Just dropped off
his cell phone and different things that he was carrying that night. It's a whole year now, so to have that happen and get those things, I mean, it's really
that must have been very emotional.
Yeah, that day was emotional. Yeah.
So, and has the Baltimore County Police Department reached out at all to you and your family since this happened?
Since this has happened, we were planning, and we did a town hall meeting, and they were to come out to the town hall meeting. It's something that we remember happening when I was growing up, that if you called and said, you know, we need your presence at this particular neighborhood association meeting, they were quickly to come out. But on this, no, we've gotten them to, you know, when it first happened, paying their condolences and things like that. But, you know, after that, it's, no, we haven't really connected.
So this is, people are saying this is going to be a very tough case.
I think when you're dealing with a loss of a life and at the hands of anybody, let alone an officer, it's going to be a tough case because, you know, you have to weigh out all the facts. And we're just hoping, you know, that they'll hear everything and justice, you know, will prevail because we know that. It could have been done differently, and I think just that alone, you know, could have changed
And it also raises all the issues. I mean, for your son, but also just the whole issues of police and how they relate. Whether the police officer is a man or a woman, whether they're black, white, Latino, or Asian, or whoever they are, how they relate to young black people and young black men in particular.
Yeah,
and that your son, in many ways, is just a victim of the way that.
They're thinking.
How they're thinking and how they're thinking about young black men mm-hmm. and who they are and always seen as a danger, always seen as a thug, always seen as the other.
Right. And that's something that we're going to truly take a look at going forward. We're starting to meet having a mother that has lost their children. March, it's every other Sunday of every month, we're starting to meet. We've had about 3 meetings so far, but we're going to put together a Million Moms March just so that we can plead with the world to just take a look at the violence that is that's just happening, you know, and right. We want them to just take a look at what it does to families, especially, you know, when they're taken from you. It hurts, and then hurt demonstrates something else out there. You know, so you have a lot of hurt people out there, and if they don't learn how to heal from their hurt, they're going to be hurting other people. And that's what's going on in the world. Just a lot of people that are hurt, not understood, misunderstood, based on the color. And in our community alone, there's a lot of people that are really faced with this tragedy. And I've seen it this whole year. I've just seen over and over again where police are just overstepping their bounds. And I don't know if it's a fear factor going on for them, that they're fearful, you know. So the first thing they do is, you know, shoot, ask questions later, or, you know, kill, ask questions later. We want to be able to put forth an effort into changing the mindsets and, you know, pleading with everyone to just stop the violence. Go get some assistance. Turn the tragedy around somehow. This is hard for us to do, but we know Christopher would truly, truly be proud to know that we're reaching out, doing some mentoring, some, you know, for teens, because we know that they're faced with a lot of things that we weren't faced with.
Well, I'm going to say, first of all, I think that the humanity that you exude, that your family exudes, you're reaching out for healing, for justice, but also for healing and to change the way we do things in our society. It says a lot about who you all are as a family and who you all are as human beings. And it's just an honor to have you in the studio. And whatever we can do, we will be here throughout the trial and after to hear your words.
Thank you.
And thank you for making the effort to come in today.
Thank you for having us.
And to bring your lovely daughters here as well.
Thank you.
Good to have you all in the studio.
Thank you.
And we'll stay on this trial. We'll see what happens over this coming week. James LaBorde's trial in the killing of Chris Brown. He's being charged with manslaughter. And we will see how this transpires. And we'll continue covering it with folks involved. And, of course, invite Chris Brown and their family back in the studios as well. Thank you all so much for being
Thank
here.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to take a very brief break. And then we're going to look at some foreign policy questions. Should the United States get involved in Syria as a war? And what does this election of a moderate in Iran mean? Stay with us. We'll be right back.